atop the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now, as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Police clash with protesters in Oakland. Two planes collide over Newburgh. And five-year-olds are gambling in the streets of England.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Wednesday, October 26th, 2011. An Alloa, Oregon man is accused of pulling a gun on his neighbor and her dog after the animal attacked one of his own dogs. Deputies say 77-year-old Joseph Romaine was walking his two dogs on Southwest Bryan Way when a woman's dog ran out and started a fight with one of his dogs. The woman was able to get control of her dog, and Romaine continued walking to his house. Minutes later, the woman says Romaine, again 77, came back to her house and stood outside with a pistol. While pointing the pistol at the ground, Romaine threatened to kill the woman and her dog. After a brief period, Romaine left the woman's house without shooting anyone and returned home. Deputies tracked him down there. That would have been hard, I guess.
Where he was watching his stories.
Yes, where he was watching his stories, and arrested him on charge of menacing. They also took a .22-caliber pistol like the one the woman and another witness had described. Washington County Animal Control visited the scene and determined that the woman didn't violate any codes and neither of the dogs was hurt.
You don't screw with old people. They got nothing to lose. Their life is cheap, and so is yours.
Yes. And they're armed to the teeth.
And mean.
And mean, like me. Wait, because I'm old. I don't know. Anyway, Oakland was shrouded in a tear gas haze this morning after a night of clashes between police and Occupy protesters. The confrontation started about 12 hours after police cleared out an encampment in a plaza that demonstrators had been using for 2 weeks. While only about 300 people had been in the encampment when police raided it early Tuesday, more than 1,000 took to the streets last night to reclaim the plaza. Okay. A YouTube video shows smoke billowing and flash grenades popping on a downtown street as authorities tried to disperse the demonstrators and keep them from reoccupying the park. An Associated Press video shows some of the clashes up close, including one in which police throw a young woman to the ground. The New York Times blog The Lead has even more footage of the chaos, which lasted for some 6 hours. Over 100 people were arrested over the course of the day, most in the pre-dawn raid. It's not known yet how many were injured. Here, protester Rachel Jackson says police responded to their protesting. They had thrown paint and rocks at the cops.
We want the camp back. We want people's things that were taken. We want them to be either returned or replaced. And we want the charges to be dropped against any of the protesters. We want an end to martial law.
I want to end all my sentences by inflecting upward for no reason while talking and a pony. I'm sorry, pony.
Yeah, martial law is, you know, okay.
It's because, my porn name.
The Oakland's acting police chief said officers had no choice but to use force and tear gas. They said demonstrators were throwing bottles, rocks, and dishware
at
them.
Really, of all the places in the world that you want to screw with cops, Oakland is near the bottom of the list.
No. No, they know how to deal with that sort of thing.
Seriously. Even if, regardless of whether or not the situation calls for it, Oakland cops really don't seem to have much compunction about just open up a huge can of pain on you.
Yeah. Jackson says they were simply expressing their First Amendment rights.
See, now you're just screwing with me. What is this? This is a...
Jackson 2.
I don't know that I may have been lying.
You marked it Jackson 2. It could also be Oakland 2.
I might have been fibbing when I said that we had a second one of those.
Well, we'll just imagine that we know what she said.
I have a cut from Charlie Rangel, if you'd like to hear that, but it doesn't really seem like it's really the same thing.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Wait. Let me see if I've, let me try one more thing here. Wait.
Just dunk my tea bag a few more times. And that's not a euphemism. It's an actual tea bag.
I think I may actually have sound of someone being tear gassed instead. Hold on a second. Let's see if I can locate that. What kind of tea are you drinking today?
Stash Orange Spice.
What does it mean when they say stash?
That's the company, Stash. They're called Stash.
Really? I thought it just meant loose. I thought it was like a loose tea, like when it wasn't in a bag, when you had to put it in a tea egg or something.
No, I don't think so.
Stash tea is a brand?
Yeah, it's a brand.
Really?
Yeah. Would you like to see the
Well, I'm sure that there is a company now sort of leveraging that, calling themselves Stash. But that was but that's not a recent thing. Stash has just been a brand name.
They've been a brand name for like ages. See? There you go.
From their family to my family. The Stash Tea Company?
Yeah. I've been drinking their fine teas for at least a decade.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a second cup for that woman.
All right. Well, in other Occupy news, a Brooklyn software developer who sympathizes with the protests has built an I'm Getting Arrested app for Android phones. The user writes a text message in advance and enters a recipient list, and the app creates a button so the protester can just send the message with one push of the button just before the cuffs get slapped on.
There should be one that says, I'm not resisting you. That's the app you need. One that says, I am not resisting arrest! And then automatically just...
Alternately, you could just say, not in the face, not in the face.
Exactly. I'm too pretty!
The developer named Jason Van Anden told the paper he came up with the idea when a colleague lamented that his girlfriend was about to get busted, but didn't have an easy way to inform all of her contacts.
Really?
If I had a nickel... As of Monday morning, some 9,000 people had downloaded the app. The way things have been going in Chicago, Cincinnati, and Oakland, and could be headed in New York, there figures to be quite a market. Van Anden is also working on an iPhone version.
Hey, you know what I did here is sometimes people say, you know, I see what you did there. Nobody could see what I did here because it's an audio experience only.
Right.
So we have cuts for Oakland from a woman named Jackson, and then we have cuts about Jackson from a city near Oakland.
Oh.
And so I actually just So when we get to the Michael Jackson story later on, it's entirely possible that it's going to be a guy going, tear gas, my eyes! So I don't...
And Kennedy... Had a secretary named Lincoln.
Exactly. Here's what that woman would have said earlier if I'd had the cut handy.
Okay.
This is her, I guess, I don't know, bitching about more stuff.
The police responded with just an overwhelming show of force and just viciousness, injuring people, hitting people, and not just clearing the camp, but destroying the camp.
And that's proof that Conrad Murray is a bastard. I mean, all the things just going through and clearing the camp with propofol day and night.
Here in Portland, police said that reports of violence, drugs, and unsanitary conditions and overwhelming mental health concerns are growing in the two camps of Occupy Portland downtown. According to a flyer obtained by the Portland Mercury, peace and safety team organizers proposed vacating the park, saying it was unsustainable, unsafe, and winter is setting in. Organizers said problems included the lack of capacity for a growing population, not enough resources, no enforcement of, quote, community values, unquote, and serious drug abuse, resulting in emergency calls due to overdoses.
Winter is setting in, like we're all in Nome or something.
It's getting chilly. It's a little brisk outside. From Monday into early morning Tuesday, police logged several fights, two attempted officer assaults, several intoxicated people, and porta potties overflowing into the streets.
Awesome.
Someone making a fancy flyer for their proposal should not be taken to mean it's more or less likely to happen, press liaison Jordan Ledoux said. Given the amount of effort put into the space, it's unlikely to happen that quickly. This is what's great about the process we've established. They've established a process.
Press liaison for who?
The people in the park, I guess.
I thought they were a leaderless enclave of...
Well, they're leaderless, but that doesn't mean they don't have a press liaison. Whose last name is Ledoux.
Is everybody there a press liaison?
I think so.
Okay.
Or using medical marijuana.
All right.
It's one or the other, really.
Fair enough.
He said, this is what's great about the process we've established. Completely different ideas get taken seriously, and even when they don't happen, they start conversation that make other things happen.
Okay.
I don't know what any of that means.
Things lead to stuff which lead to happenings and ideas.
Right. Neither the General Assembly nor the community of Occupy have taken any steps to make for positive change, the flyer reads.
For glorious nation of Kazakhstan.
So the group has proposed plans to find a new indoor space to continue their activities.
It's not really the same.
I don't really think, yeah.
We're going to be at a rec room over on 5th and Alder for a while. And then later on, we're going to be in the basement over at the Hertzfeld place.
We've rented a light industrial building in a strip mall out by the airport.
The church has a parish activity center that's not being used for their spaghetti feed this month.
So we're going to be angry over there indoors for a while. Raw sewage was reported to be running down the sidewalk towards Southwest 3rd Avenue. Parks officials told police they, quote, were aware of the situation, which I guess just means, oh, yeah, we know there's poop in the
street. Oh, yeah, there's poo over there. Yeah. How about that?
Portland police said Occupy organizers asked for help from Portland Respond Tuesday as they were overwhelmed by the amount of mental health issues presenting themselves at the camp.
That's hard to believe.
Ledoux said...
My name is made up.
We always attempt to solve problems related to the camp through discussion and collaboration. Protester Wolf Chakulte said, from the beginning it was okay, but now it's worthless. You've got drugs going on in there, prostitution. It takes like 2 weeks, I swear to God, 2 weeks, and it has become like downtown Detroit.
Seriously.
In the park.
Like Lord of the Flies over there.
Ledoux said, it is rather asinine, childish, and disappointing to see the Portland Police Bureau go out of their way to publicize every single minuscule incident of occurrence near the occupation.
Like all the drugs and violence and prostitution and raw sewage filling the streets.
And the mental health issues.
It's nitpicking.
Just get over it. Ledoux said Tuesday afternoon the restroom facilities were half full and he was not aware of any problems with them. Police said 39-year-old Angela Hallinger threw a paintbrush at police officers because they would not stop and look at her art. She was later arrested for disorderly conduct.
I love Portland.
And criminal mischief, by the way, after she flashed her breasts at police.
That's great.
Look at my art!
Also my breasts, but mainly my art.
Oh, so yeah. So that's happening.
So you can either, so it's like an A or B. You can either look at her art or her bosoms.
Right.
One of the two.
No, I think if you don't look at her art,
or
then
the punishment.
You're forced to look at her bosoms.
Look at my flapjack-like breasts.
They're like Gwyneth Paltrow boobs. They're really unpleasant. No one wants to see them.
That's great. Like Breast Benedict. As someone says, that'll show the man. Rent some of his vacant real estate. That's right.
Yeah.
Stick it to him, hippies. Okay.
Two small planes collided in midair over Newburgh late yesterday afternoon, sending one crashing to the ground. One person was confirmed dead, according to the Yamhill County Sheriff's Office. The pilot of the second plane managed to make an emergency landing near Shenpui State Park. It's unknown how many people were on board the crashed plane, which came down just off of Wilsonville Road. The Portland Air Traffic Control Tower picked up one of the first radio transmissions alerted of the crash, and we actually have that.
And this is in the
Dropbox.
I'm sorry, we're so busy with the Oakland thing. Plane one is this right here.
Yeah, all this right. is. Yeah.
Jesus.
All right. Approach Portland. Approach midair collision northeast. Oh God. Northeast of Aurora, just north of the river. Collision. One airplane is still flying. One airplane smoke in the ground.
Jesus.
Summers, who's this fellow? Not sure who. Oh, Captain Ken Summers with the Sheriff's Office said the plane in Yamhill County is absolutely, totally destroyed. It's just a burned patch in the woods. Witnesses reported an explosion and a huge column of thick black smoke just after 4 p.m. Tuesday on a tree farm on Wilsonville Road. Others reported seeing a plane spiraling to the ground and debris flying into the state park. The National Transportation Safety Board was at the scene investigating the collision all night. Investigators said the debris field is several miles wide. A large piece of the fuselage fell just south of the Willamette River. A seat from one of the planes fell into the park campground, and debris also hit a pickup truck that was owned by a couple from Sherwood.
Walter White could not be found for questioning.
It is the 18th day of testimony in the manslaughter trial of the doctor accused of Michael Jackson's death. Former Jackson defense attorney Thomas Mesereau says the defense is trying to show Jackson would do anything to get his hands on drugs like propofol to help with his insomnia.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. The defense is hoping to paint Michael as desperate and knowledgeable. The flip side is that here's someone who's in great need of professional assistance, needs a very professional, caring doctor to give him the right advice.
Doesn't really sound like that's what he needed, or certainly what he was looking for. It seems like he just needed a guy with maybe a crowbar to bust out a window and to just come back with a bag of whatever.
Well, there's the point, I mean, I can imagine that really all he was doing was just going, for the love of God, put me to sleep.
Seriously.
Maybe just put me to sleep.
Maybe just smother me while I'm
I don't care what you use. Just do it. And they're okay. Just, I got this stuff.
Just hit me with a big clown hammer if you have to.
I'm losing things right and left. There we go. Child gamblers as young as five are running up debts playing marbles in the streets of Plymouth, England, police have warned. Groups of up to 40 young people are gathering in the town of North Prospect to play a game called Pits, which involves flicking marbles into drains. Police are taking action over growing fears children could be pushed into shoplifting or fights. Letters warning about the dangers of gambling have been sent to parents throughout Mayflower Primary School. Police Officer Dan Amador said Pits is mainly being played near the old North Prospect Primary School. He said, gambling is often thought of as an adult behavior, but over the last few months, we've noticed an increase in young people in the North Prospect area playing Pits for money.
Are we really talking about children playing marbles and leading to a life of crime?
Indeed we are.
Okay.
He said, historically, this game would involve winning each other's marbles, but it has come to our attention that more and more children are playing each other for money.
And kidneys.
Well, he said that on dry evenings, which I guess means when it's not raining, groups of up to 40 people aged from 5 to teenagers have been gathering around drains to play Pits. The game involves lifting the covers on water meters and flicking marbles into the hole. He said, over recent weeks, we have been approached by parents telling us their kids are asking for money to pay off debts owed to other children. I have also heard the money has been taken out of purses and things around the house have gone missing, like DVDs and PlayStation games.
Is that where, like, Three Fingers Brown is on the porch waiting for his money?
Yeah, except Three Fingers Brown is, like, 10.
Yeah.
So,
get the money, see?
Your son, he owes me a little something.
Look, the VIG is running.
I said officers have been told of several children as young as 7 owing 20 or 30 pounds to other children. Amador urged parents to be aware of where their children are in the evening, and if they believe their children may be gambling, speak to them about the dangers of gambling. And also, kids age 16 and over face possible prosecution for gambling in public.
Who lets children gamble on credit? I mean, leaving aside the issue that they're gambling,
kids. They aren't very good at
who extends them a line of, I'm saying, as a debtor, though?
Yeah.
Who? It just seems like a poor risk for payment, you know? Like, I'm just saying, I got a brother-in-law, he's like 40, I won't lend him any money. So, I mean, you know, guy who's like 5, he can't even work. I mean, really, where are you going to, it's like, you know, like you can send that guy to the mines to pay you back.
But you say, so, Jimmy, I understand your brother has an Xbox.
Shame if something were to happen to it.
Just saying, if that Xbox ended up on my front porch tomorrow, we might be able to forgive the marble debt.
Or else Tuddy and I are going to have to burn down your lemonade stand. It's like that. Yes. Hello. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program. Oh, yes. The Rick Emerson radio program. This hour on Legion of News, you have your entertainment news coming up about half an hour from now. Science on the March coming up here just a short while. And don't forget, you can get this program later on via iTunes if you like. You can also get it as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. And at mobile.cascadia.fm, you can listen to it wherever you might go in this many splendid world of ours. Your mobile
so
or handheld
options.
Device. That's right. It's you have to really go out of your way not to hear the show is the thing. Like almost anywhere and no matter what you're doing in your life, the show's going to plague you / amuse you. So really it's like an active avoidance thing almost. Here is Don Taylor.
Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife officials said they stopped an illegal sale of a turtle on Craigslist. According to ODFW conservation biologist Susan Barnes, an unidentified woman brought the animal to the Department of Forestry office after she was contacted by ODFW and informed that possession or sale of the Western Pond turtle was against the law. Biologists will keep it in captivity, testing the turtle for up to 3 months to make sure it can't transmit any diseases to turtles in the wild. If the animal is not deemed a suitable candidate for release back into the wild, it will be kept in captivity. Western pond turtles are listed as sensitive/critical on the Oregon State Sensitive Species List.
Oh, not like in their mannerisms.
No, they're very...
like Tony Randall or something.
Do not mock the Western pond turtle. It will weep like Nancy Kerrigan. Biologists, all of this could have been avoided if people would have just left that turtle in the wild, Barnes said. She said many people don't realize the animals need both aquatic and terrestrial habitat. In the case of turtles, some people are loving them to death, Barnes said. As with all wildlife, we'd prefer people enjoy them from a distance.
We're sort of one big Elmira.
Now, it says they stopped any illegal sale of a turtle. Okay, so the woman was going put. I guess the woman put the turtle up on Craigslist and then was contacted by Fish and Wildlife and told,
"Hey,
no, you can't do that.
You there with the turtle?"
And so then she came in and surrendered
exactly.
the turtle.
Surrender okay. the turtle. It's always hard to get chicks to surrender the turtle.
It is. Well, it depends on the chick, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Get a couple of Jägermeister shots into them, and they'll usually give up
the
turtle.
Whole different story.
Yeah. Let's do our science.
Here's your science on the march for Wednesday, right here at Legion of News at Cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor at the science desk.
New research has found that spiders are second only to cockroaches when it comes to detecting vibrations, which means they can always find you. Hungry spiders can detect the quietest movements and airflow shifts. Stimulus forces in the 0.01 near undetectable range are enough for spider stimulation, according to a new published report in the Journal of the Royal Society Interface. In fact, a spider's entire body is built to detect almost anything and anyone that might cross its path. Co-author Frederick Barth, one of the world's leading experts on spiders, said, "The spider has more than 3,000 strain sensors embedded in its exoskeleton at many different locations, but most of them are on the legs and the compound organs, like the vibration receptors near the leg joints."
You know, a spider bit me while I was asleep last night. Why do you have to be talking about this now?
He knew where you was.
I'm all weird. He what?
He knew where you was.
Okay.
Because of his vibration legs.
All right.
So that it there in your hand?
Yeah, right there. Yeah. Right there in the little my right hand. Yeah.
When I went away for the weekend with my husband and we stayed in this sort of cabin, only partly ever used house that one of his aunts owns, we were getting ready for bed and I was pulling back the curtain, the covers and stuff, and there was this huge spider, like one of those big outdoor spiders that's about 3 inches long. And I was like, ah! And Patrick said, what? I said, giant spider! So I was going to try. He's like, I'll take care of it. And he goes and he gets a paper towel, which I figure he's going to use to protect his hand while he grabs and crushes the spider or whatever. And then, like a girl, he just throws the paper towel over the top of the spider, which, of course, makes the spider scurry away down the side of the bed out of sight. So we spent something like 45 minutes pulling the bed out and searching around and trying to find the damn thing so we could go to bed and not spend the whole night afraid that it was going to come after us in our sleep.
Was he just trying to cover the spider up so he wouldn't have to see it?
He's very squeamish and weird about spiders, but then he tries to be manly and tries to be the one to do it. But then at the last minute, I think he realized if he grabbed it with the paper towel, it would do that crunching thing in his hand.
Or it would wrestle the towel out of his hand altogether.
Yeah, and so he just went, aha! Threw the paper towel over.
Now it's gone.
And I was like, that's not
He knows it's not a
working.
Net. Yeah.
No, okay. He failed to.
All right.
It was a big bunch of fail. So, both this fellow Barth and his author Clemens Schaber are neurobiologists at the University of Vienna. Along with another colleague, they use a process called white light interferometry to perform the first ever quantitative examination of the sophisticated micromechanics of spiders. Excuse me. The process combines light waves and an optical instrument, allowing for very precise measurements of the tiniest things, such as the force on a spider strain sensor. And they discovered that, yes, they can feel you no matter what you do. Every single little vibration. And even if they can't feel you, Rick Emerson, it can also see, smell, and taste you. Spiders have vision sensitive for low light levels, but at low temporal resolution. Minute chemical-sensitive hair sensors on their feelers also receive odors. And female spiders release a pheromone perfume that attracts males.
Okay,
so
that's...
They always know where you are.
That's great. That's wonderful. All right. And they discovered this via a... What'd you call it? An
interferometry.
Interocitor.
An interocitor thingy.
All right.
It was in a special cabinet, and it probably had lasers.
Okay. They were on board a Zagon starship at the time. Yeah, there's a... Somebody put a terrifying photograph on my Facebook page yesterday. If you'd like to see it, it's at facebook.com/Rick Emerson. It was like a close-up, one of those really, really detailed close-up shots of a spider where they, like some scientist had gotten it on a white bat, like, you know, some. It was like some Annie Leibovitz thing where they got it on a white background and the resolution was, the contrast was perfect. So you could just see every terrifying, you know, detail of the spider. And then they'd captioned it, and the caption just said something like, You know, do you remember that time you threw a shoe at me? You know, so do I. You know, I'm behind your bed right now or something.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing is they remember. They know.
They
file away grievances and grudges, and then they settle up once dark comes.
Because they know when you're helpless.
And they're in your shoe right now.
Mm-hmm. Or on the back of your head.
Exactly.
Sexual education in Finnish schools has become more explicit and is now making use of a teacher's toolkit that includes plastic genitals.
Finnish school?
Yeah, in Finland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant something.
No.
Something else altogether.
The new curriculum also aims to devote more attention to the needs of sexual minorities and pupils of immigrant backgrounds.
Do they have different genitals?
Yes.
Really?
Well, it depends on where they're from. They could be very large. They could be very small.
Okay, but it's the same. Like, it's not like Albanians have, like, it's sideways or something. Well, it could be, I guess.
They're forked.
And three balls.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Apart from the act itself, the new syllabus covers issues like self-awareness, emotions, homosexuality, and cultural differences. The new's teacher's pack comes with a set of tools to facilitate learning, such as fake genitals, condoms, lubricants, and brochures. In addition, the kit contains a book for educators teaching pupils with international backgrounds. At the same time, the aim is also to provide the youths of Finland with an understanding of other cultures. Special planner, a teacher from the Finnish AIDS Council who supplied the teacher's pack, says, "When young Finns go abroad, they need to understand that it is not normal everywhere to strip naked in a dressing room in front of everybody."
I was just going to say, it seems like Finland is a pretty, I mean, that's not like a third world nation or anything over there.
No, but apparently not only do they have like this sort of awesome and very very forward and forward-thinking sexual education program now, but apparently they also need to be taught that like...
Don't wave your junk.
Yeah, don't just be naked places if you're not in Finland. In Finland, it's okay. Be naked anywhere you want. If you go to like, say, Austria, they don't like it so much.
Also...
Ohio, they get angry.
You know, for a sexually forward country, as it seems like they probably are, and of course in my head it's just nothing but like lederhosen wearing like... snow bunny chicks. But I mean, if you really have to be shown, like, if you really require a class to show you what the lube is for, maybe, you know, maybe no sex for you.
I mean, it gives you a foot up. You know, you don't have
so
to find
speak.
Out that stuff.
That's only if you use a lot of it. That's only if you use the Astroglide.
Find that stuff out for yourself.
But I mean, what is it? What
the application of the condom alone actually, honestly, takes a little bit of practice. You got to try it a couple of times before you can really finesse that.
I guess I'm just saying it seems like the lube really only has one. I mean, unless you're just swallowing it or just pumping it into your ear or something.
Yeah.
I guess you could, or lathering up in it just from head to toe, which again probably has its application.
Well, maybe it's just purely, you know, for a show and tell kind of a purpose. The teacher holds it up and says, "And by the way, you can also buy this."
Yeah.
You know, okay. You can get some of this.
All right. So maybe it's just maybe it's like a payroll. Maybe they're all like just on the take from Dow Corning, so they can just be this here's your liquid silk and what you need to know about this. Yes, enough lube gives you a leg up in the competition.
Yes. As experts wait for the human population to reach 7 billion this week, some estimates claim even larger growth by the end of the century. One forthcoming United Nations report estimates that the number of humans on the planet may reach 15 billion.
Stupid humans.
More than double the current levels, according to The Observer.
Jerks.
Previous... You know why? Because they don't know how to use the condom.
Exactly.
Previous numbers gathered from global demographic trends project the world's population to reach 10 billion by 2100. So why, Rick Emerson, have the predictions changed? Why?
We don't know what we're talking about?
Partly, yes.
Okay.
The answer lies in the estimates themselves. Like other UN population reports, the releases list low, medium, and high estimates for population growth. It seems the updated version may list 15 billion as the high end of the new estimate for 2100. It's uncertain what the low end of the new estimate will be. One blog author on Forbes' website reasons there's no need to panic after hearing the news. He also points out the strongest predictor of lower birth rates is wealth, not contraception or family planning necessarily. Most initiatives encourage reducing the fertility rate to 2.1, or a level where children replace their parents rather than cause the population to grow exponentially.
I was about to panic. I was going to get all verklempt about the entire
Forbes
thing.
Forbes says don't panic.
All right.
No.
There you go.
On the other hand, though, New York Times says you should panic.
Ah, okay.
Because they point
Wait,
out...
Hold on a second. No, I didn't know that I was...
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the New York Times points out that our short-term carrying capacity on Earth might be higher than we think. Rockefeller University professor Joel Cohen not the guy who makes the movies, argues that it's not always the numbers of people that restrict quality of life. Rather, it's people's investment in each other and future generations that will free up access to basic human needs, such as access to clean water and food. So we could face some resource issues if we have more people.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right.
John McCarthy, a pioneer in artificial intelligence technology and creator of the computer programming language often used in that field, has died. He was 84. Stanford University, where McCarthy was a professor for four decades, announced McCarthy's death on Monday. The school said he died in his Palo Alto home, but did not provide a cause. Tributes to McCarthy flooded into Twitter, where people mourned the loss of another Silicon Valley technology innovator. Steve Jobs and C programming creator and Unix co-developer Dennis Ritchie died earlier this month. McCarthy was a leader in the artificial intelligence field, coining the term in a 1955 research proposal. He said, "Every aspect of learning or any other feature of intelligence can, in principle, be so precisely described that a machine can be made to simulate it." He went on to create the MIT Artificial Intelligence Lab and the Stanford Artificial Intelligence Lab, serving as its director from 1965 to 1980. And in 1958, he invented the programming language Lisp, which paved the way for voice recognition technology, including Siri, the personal assistant application on the newest iPhone.
And I'm not going to pretend to be smarter than I am here. The only reason I knew that is because our pal Seamus sent me an email. Because he can't leave his home, by the way, because A, in addition to being ringed by wolves and mountain lions.
Is he snowed in now?
Yeah, it snowed for like 12 hours, and it's 20 below zero or something. Some such. He can't. It's bad. It's not like he leaves the house a lot anyway, but I think really this is any small inkling he had that's been removed, but he said in an email, he said, by the way, this is like nerd alert, he said, the guy who invented Lisp, one of my favorite niche programming languages, just died. He said, this is a bad year for geeks. Indeed it is.
It is.
So, by the way, I'm just passing a little edict right here, this little proclamation from me, Rick Emerson. Leonard Nimoy, you may not die, not this year. You gotta wait like at least 10 weeks before he does. Seriously, if that's because I can just sense it. It's just on the horizon. It's just out there like a storm gathering momentum.
Will Wheaton can't leave his house.
No, I don't really think we can take any more losses in the geek community this year. So Leonard Nimoy, you need to get on a treadmill, but on a low setting, and just sort of,
or just stay in bed for a while. Just rest.
Have a scone, little relaxation. Just watch Wheel of Fortune or something, and just keep it together for like 10 more weeks at least.
All the science.
All right, there you go. There's your science on the march for Wednesday, October 26th, 2011. Why? What else is happening later on Wednesday, Don?
Well, I will be doing Ham-Fisted Radio at 4 p.m. here on Cascadia FM with my good friend, the Mr. Fatboy Bobby Roberts. And I have no idea what we're talking about. I'm sure Halloween will figure into the conversation somewhat. And also, they have their midnight movie coming up on Friday, and it's this is Spinal Tap. So we,
oh really?
I'm sure we will probably discuss Spinal Tap a little bit as well.
You should play the Happy Happy Halloween song over and over and over again until everybody's minds crack.
Eight more days till Halloween.
Exactly.
Halloween.
That's exactly
Halloween,
what you should do.
Eight
and then
more
just
days till Halloween,
and don't quit.
Silver shamrock.
No matter what anybody asks you to do, just keep doing it forever and ever and ever and ever, and just and refuse to stop it.
The worst Halloween movie, by the way,
yeah,
of all the Halloween movies, and yet I will remember that song until the day I die.
Stays with you. Never goes away.
Mm-hmm. There are some concerns about the potential impact the NBA lockout could have on basketball in the 2012 Olympics. NPR sports correspondent Mike Pesca says part of the problem is the issue of insurance when they take part in international competition.
That is NBA mm-hmm. 1, yes. Let's see.
With a lockout, the insurance question looms large. If one of these million-dollar stars gets hurt, who's going to pay that money? They probably will be able to work that out.
Okay. Pesca doubts this will lead to the players sitting out the games.
They want to be on that international stage. They feel it will help their endorsements. You know, I'm sure they're patriotic. I'm sure they love the international experience, but there's also a bit of a selfish motivation for them to play as well.
All right, so there's that.
Yeah, that's your sports news.
Whatever that story was about, yeah, it's happening now.
An Edmonton, Canada woman has filed a human rights complaint after her autistic 9-year-old daughter and service dog...
Oh, I have a good feeling about this story.
...were told to leave the West End store Winners for the second time in 3 months. Allison Ainsworth, Emily's mother, said, "I don't believe that anybody should feel like a second-class citizen in any place, and especially as a child." The discount clothing store ordered Ainsworth's daughter, Emily, and her dog, Levi, to leave the premises last July, but later apologized to the family. The store sent Emily a formal apology, a card featuring a puppy on the cover, and a $25 gift card. The apology was written by Mike Faulkner, Edmonton District Manager for TJX Canada, the parent company of Winners. He wrote, "I followed up with the store and the manager involved, and he was very apologetic. He certainly didn't mean any offense at all and was upset to hear you and your daughter were upset. My biggest concern is your daughter doesn't feel welcome, so if you don't mind spoiling her a bit, I'd like to give her a $25 gift card to pick up something she'd like from any of our stores." Because I think that's $25 in Canada money, so that's like, you know, $3 or something. On Sunday, Emily, Levi, and her mother visited the store to use the gift card. And guess what happened?
Chased away by security.
Yes, they were told by store staff that Levi, whose harness identifies him as a service dog, was not allowed into the store. "We were asked to leave the store," the mom said. "My child's service dog was not permitted in their establishment anywhere. And if that's true, that includes my child because there's no separation between the two of them." Emily said leaving the store made her sad. She said, "I was disappointed that I didn't get anything from the store, even my dress that my mom picked out for me." Ainsworth described the incidents as demoralizing and demeaning, and also doubts the store's apology now, given that they were kicked out a second time.
She believes it may be insincere.
Might be, yes. Emily must go everywhere with Levi, her dog. Without him, she could get lost or leave the store with a stranger, mom said. I guess she's a very friendly little girl. It says it's really the difference between life and death for her. The parent company of Winners says allowing service animals in its stores is standard policy. So they're looking into what's the deal with the manager and whatnot at this particular store for being such a bonehead. And there's a great picture of the girl with the dog.
You can see that, by the way, at rickemerson.com/pictures. That is visual aids for October 26th. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of things. Robert Wagner says, FYI, Spinal Tap isn't this Friday. It's on 11-11-11 the following Friday, FYI.
Oh, well, never mind.
So as punishment, Dawn, I'm sorry, it's time that...
Not the throat singing. Oh, that. See, I like this. So you're not punishing me at all.
I just like the open-ended nature of it. Okay. So there you go. So that's 11-11-11. That is happening. Is Lionel Richie dead?
Is he?
Someone is.
Did that just happen?
Is that a thing that that is real?
Yeah.
Hold
I'll
on.
Check on this.
Hold on. Now I don't know if that's
to the internet.
I don't know if that's actually if it's actually true or not. Or if that's if someone is making an observation based on something ridiculous or retarded we may have said earlier.
I don't think he's dead.
All right. Here's the other reason I asked, because someone said, "What? Lionel Richie's dead?" Sort of apropos of nothing. So I'm trying to figure out if that was a reference to something we said earlier, sort of without our own knowledge, like we inadvertently tripped into some sort of a backhanded Commodore's reference.
Apparently he died like 3 days ago.
What?
Yeah. I didn't hear anything about this.
You're making that up.
No, he died in 2004. He died 3 days ago in 2004.
Lionel Richie?
That's what it says here.
Lionel Richie's not dead. What do you mean? What it says? Where?
I don't know. I guess.
Don't just say the internet either. That's not an answer.
The internet is lying.
Don, don't make me.
I'm going to Wikipedia now. Hold on.
I swear to God.
No, he's still alive.
Okay. Why is somebody claiming that Lionel Richie is dead?
Don't
know. And why did the internet agree with you?
I don't know. If you type in Lionel Richie dies, the first thing you get is a thing from 2004, from 3 days ago, 2004, which is what confused me. I just saw October 23rd saying Lionel Richie's dead, but it's not.
Totally weirded out by this whole thing now.
No, he's alive.
All right.
He's just very Lionel Richie-ish.
Okay. But not dead. When you say he's Lionel Richie-ish, you don't mean in the sense that he's dead.
As far as, unless he died like in the last couple of minutes, I do not believe he is dead.
Well, that's
dead
usually because, when people die.
Because there's no...
Just briefly, you know, or just, you know, recently. That's usually when that happens. It's usually not...
Well, I mean, in case, you know...
They never think to warn us. Is
the thing is, we could be sitting here going, Lionel Richie is not dead, and like 30 seconds ago he could have died, and nobody knows. But it turns out we were just talking about it as he was kicking.
I think we are just really being horked. You know what it is? I think, here's the deal. I think we are now today, that was some interesting syntax. I think today we are the media that we were ridiculing yesterday for just blindly passing. And then he was attacked by a shark. Look at his surfboard. This isn't at all a made-up photo.
No.
All right. So now we get this today. Here's, that's not going to end anytime soon, by the way. No. Just, here's Don Taylor at the news
desk. Days and days. President Obama has unveiled new plans to help college graduates buried in loan debt during a stop in Denver. There are college graduates buried in loan debt in Denver?
It's like being in soft peat moss, but harder.
I'm glad President Obama is going to help them, maybe with a shovel.
Hey, please, I'm in a soft loan debt.
Obama explains why offering relief to students is important to the country.
I'm sorry. No, the thing is, I've just totally thrown us off with the double puncher of Lionel Richie's alleged death and the Silver Shamrock song.
College isn't just one of the best investments you can make in your future. It's one of the best investments America can make in our future. So we want you in school. We want you in school. But we shouldn't saddle you with debt when you're starting off.
By the way, Robert Wagner says on the Twitter, plus 1,000 thanks for using Silver Shamrock theme song today. It makes me horny.
All right.
Obama blasted Republicans for their opposition to his plan.
It's Obama 2.
You had some Republicans in Congress who fought us tooth and nail to protect the status quo and to keep these tax dollars flowing to the big banks instead of going to middle-class families. One of them said changing it would be an outrage. The real outrage was letting banks keep these subsidies while students were working three jobs just to try to get by.
FYI, apparently...
Too bad we don't have anybody in charge of things who might be able to do something about that.
Apparently, this is the Lionel Richie thing is because we referred to the software, the language programmer, the guy who made Lisp.
Yeah. It,
was his name something Richie?
Yes.
Okay. So apparently, apparently somebody only heard that with like half an ear, and then their brain auto-completed, Richie dead, and their brain just went, did you mean Lionel Richie is dead?
And didn't hear any of the rest of the story, just went, oh, no!
I think they just grabbed onto that sort of fragmentary portion of the story and just just filled in the rest, sort of like in Jurassic Park, filling in with frog DNA, but just filling in it with whatever celebrity they might have known who had Richie in his name somewhere. So Richie
Rich. Nicole Richie could
okay
have been dead.
You know, there you go. But no, Lionel Richie apparently not dead.
Charlie Rich.
Despite the fact that the internet apparently claims that he not only is dead, but has been dead for several years.
Yeah.
So the point is we're all wrong today, all of us.
Well, a woman is facing jail after admitting to biting off her boyfriend's testicles during a drunken brawl. Maria Topp, a mother of four from Gateshead, England, pleaded guilty to grievous bodily...
Gateshead? Never was a town more aptly named.
...to grievous bodily harm at Newcastle Crown Court over a fight with Martin Douglas, her partner of 5 years. Douglas, 45, was taken to the hospital for emergency surgery to reattach his genitals after Topp bit them off during an incident in February this year.
During an incident.
An incident. A kerfuffle. A brouhaha. He was so traumatized by his wounds, which required 19 stitches, that emergency services struggled to understand him when he called for help. Topp remembers the fight, but cannot remember biting her partner, and was arrested soon after paramedics arrived at Douglas's flat in Newcastle and called the police. Recorded Robert Mayer said the pair had a tempestuous relationship and had both been drunk at the time of the incident.
I'm thinking understated.
The 44-year-old woman was warned her actions would more than likely result in a jail term. The judge said, there is an argument a brawl begins during which Mrs. Topp admits she unlawfully bit the complainant's scrotum. Topps was granted bail and warned she could face jail, and she will appear for sentencing on November 11th.
Scrotum. Now, is it... I'm always curious about things like this because... Well, this is like that thing about... what's his name? Michael Lowen being arrested. And it turns out that the reason the whole scuffle began is because there was some sort of a... some sort of a romantic. Well, there was a romantic interlude taking place, and then he indicated to her that he wished to have an act performed, and she declined, and then it was just a whole lot of, you know, getting rid of the Ike, letting her know that wasn't going to be tolerated. Oh. So I'm always...
That certainly doesn't put most women in the mood.
No, let me say that. It
right
doesn't.
Now.
And also, even if it did at that point, I would no longer trust her to perform the act without the aforementioned maiming taking place.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm wondering about here. Like, how would you... Like, if you're arguing with a guy, it's difficult, in other words, to, like, if you're just fighting with somebody over the tax bill, to then angle yourself sufficiently to bite his testicles off. Like, that takes a lot of... That's maneuvering... To the nth degree.
Well, and also, I think that if you are going to get into any kind of physical confrontation with someone,
you'd have your pants on.
Particularly as a man, you should have your pants on.
No, you don't want to leave the hope diamonds just out there.
No, any dangly bits.
No.
You're just asking for trouble during some kind of a physical
So that makes me wonder if they were in fact engaged in some act of romance, and then a difference of opinion emerged.
Possibly.
And she said, well, I'm just going to go to the nuclear option like right now. I'm going to end this argument fast. And then just went right for the biting and the tearing and the twisting and it hurts me and the gushing.
Or she was a midget. And that was just like, it was right in her face.
Well, it seems like that would be a bad way to live, first of all.
And I'm sure they would have mentioned it in the story.
Well, maybe not. One doesn't wish to single people out for being short of stature. But it seems like that would be either the worst or best existence on Earth if he were a midget and he never wore any pants. Because then it's like some pornographic sitcom where I'm a midget and he's got a huge schlong.
It's great for him.
That was really an accident. I didn't mean to do that right there, but... All right. Okay.
Let's do our entertainment news.
By the way, someone says, good God, the Silver Shamrock song totally sounds like it would be the soundtrack to the balding spider porn. Now that I said that, I am seeing it in my mind. Please kill me.
I am too now, so thanks.
Well, at least we're all suffering together, Dawn. That's what this show's about. What are we doing?
I don't know anymore.
Okay.
Entertainment. 63-year-old singer Steven Tyler became dizzy due to gastrointestinal problems and fell in his hotel room in Paraguay. He suffered cuts and broke two teeth, forcing a one-day delay in a concert in the Paraguayan capital of Asunción. That has now been rescheduled for Wednesday night. He was treated by a dentist who says that the singer is, quote, doing splendidly.
Now, this was the... He slipped in the shower, they say, which...
He fell in his hotel bathroom.
On the one hand, sounds like a thing that you say, like, after you've, declined your husband's request for a certain kind of marital favor one too many times. On the other hand, he is, like, 62 and appears to be made out of balsa wood.
And he's Steven Tyler. I mean, really, after everything he's admitted to, do you think he would lie about, like, the reason he fell down in
Probably
his bathroom
not.
At this point?
The stories about people busting out their teeth are really unpleasant
to me. They are.
I don't like to think about that
no,
at all.
No, because
then you wonder, like, was it a totally out-of-the-root thing, or was it just a snapped-off-at-the-gum-line thing?
Yeah, okay.
I'm just wondering.
No, stop. Dr. Maria Bastos also says Tyler was friendly and humble as he received two dental implants. She told a radio station on Wednesday that Tyler, quote, surprised me with his cheerfulness.
Okay.
Because at this point in his life, he probably can't feel pain.
No. And I'm not going to do that. I was going to do a joke about his... Hold on. Let's see if I've got the appropriate zany DJ noise. Well, I'm surprised those lips didn't break his fall, Don.
Like airbags.
Wow.
Chaz Bono has gotten his walking papers on Dancing with the Stars. Tuesday's edition of the hit ABC show marked the last dance for Bono. Despite his cheerful, spirited style, he had struggled from the beginning and came in last in the judges' assessment the night before.
Also, he's like the size of a school bus and doesn't maneuver real well.
No. Well, and to be fair to him, people said that, he couldn't dance back when he was a girl either.
Yeah.
Apparently, Chaz has always been, like, a little bit on the clumsy side.
He's not fleet of foot.
No. When he got the bad news, the transgender activist said he'd come on the program to show America a different kind of man. If there was somebody like me on TV when I was growing up, my whole life would have been different, he said.
There was. It was Buddy Hackett.
Rip Taylor.
John Candy.
Soccer star Hope Solo, who was also in Jeopardy, avoided being sent home and will stay in contention. Along with her, five other celebrities remain in the contest. Actors David Arquette and J.R. Martinez. I keep forgetting David Arquette is on this. Reality TV personality Rob Kardashian and TV hosts Ricky Lake and Nancy Grace. So, wow, that is a green room that you just would not want to get stuck in.
No, but I tell you, that's like, you know what it is? That's like the inverse of how they always say, like, you know, they have to split up Congress and the vice president whenever during the State of the Union. Because if something were to happen, all of the chain of government would be destroyed. I'm telling you right now, one well-placed dose of thermite and an entire world's problems are solved.
Wow.
I mean, like the mean IQ would jump by about 12 points. What does Ricky Lake look like these days?
Looks okay.
I mean, has she kind of held herself together?
Yeah,
I don't even.
Yeah, she has. She's a little bit heavier than she was when she like lost all her weight, but you know.
Well, not even just in terms of that, but I mean, she doesn't look all, because it's like I saw a picture of. Was it Carney Wilson? I saw a picture of somebody.
Carney Wilson looks like,
she looks
like
bad.
12 miles of bad road.
She's all just like stretchy and pockmarked and pecked at, and it's just it's unpleasant. And when I say it, I mean her. And so Ricky Lake, though, I always found Ricky Lake kind of cute, and you know, there was just a little something about her that I always liked. But sometimes then you see those people a few years later, and you kind of, it's like they've just aged in metric time. They've had some sort of exponential, they've had like some Dorian Gray thing going on.
No, she looks pretty good, actually. She looks okay.
He says, I saw her. She looks like a power forward. Okay.
Oh, that's all right. Not true at all.
Hey, what was that photograph you showed me the other day? Speaking of Nancy Grace and angry mean chicks that are sort of hot to me, what was that photograph you showed? Oh my God, it was Martha Stewart.
Yeah, in a cat costume.
On all fours in a cat costume, which I swear to God,
and it was weird and scary looking. And I showed it to you, and your first reaction goes, "You said, oh, that's hot."
It really was. Seriously,
and it wasn't even a sexy cat costume.
Oh, you're wrong
like,
about that.
It was like just a fur suit. And cat makeup, and she's on her hands.
Like maybe it wasn't for Halloween. Like maybe it's just the way she likes to dress around the house.
Yeah. Maybe.
You got to send that to Daddy'd like to have that for his personal collection.
I'll send that over to you.
All right.
Ew. Andy Rennie, who delivered his last essay on 60 Minutes 3 weeks ago, was in the hospital yesterday after developing serious complications following surgery.
Whatever happened to breathing?
CBS said the 92-year-old writer's condition was stable and at the request of his family offered no other information about his medical problems or where he was hospitalized. And that's pretty much it. And then they fill the whole thing in by talking about everything he did before he was in the hospital. So
okay.
We'll just skip it. A pathologist says Amy Winehouse committed a, quote, very large quantity of alcohol, unquote, prior to her death. I'll say. Suhail Bakhtun told an inquest to the singer's death that blood and urine samples showed that she was 4.5 times over the legal drunk driving limit. The singer, who had fought drug and alcohol problems for years, was found dead in bed at a London home on July 23rd. An initial autopsy proved inconclusive, although it found no traces of illegal drugs in her system. A British coroner is hearing about the final hours of Winehouse's death life Wednesday at an inquest into her death.
And so there was no illegal drugs in her system. It was just alcohol, but she did the classic mistake, even though she wasn't on any sort of illicit drugs. That she just went right back to the level she was at before she cleaned up.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean,
that's a mistake.
That's what'll kill you. Because it's like because she had lost her tolerance because apparently she'd been sober for like 6 months or something. And then she'd all have 30 measures of vodka, please. What could go wrong? And, you know.
Well, I believe they're ruling her death my favorite kind of death. Death by misadventure.
Yes.
Yeah.
See also John Bonham from Led Zeppelin.
The world-renowned and Portland-based band Pink Martini plans to hold a free concert in Pioneer Square to support the Occupy Portland movement. Pink Martini will present This Land Is Our Land, a free concert and community sing-along extravaganza in Pioneer Courthouse Square on Friday, October 28th from noon to 1:30. Organizers said the rally will open with a set of songs performed by Storm Large and Pink Martini and members of the Oregon Symphony, followed by a community sing-along with songs like This Land Is Your Land and Home on the Range. Local political, labor, and religious leaders also plan to speak at the event. Thomas Lauderdale said, "This is the biggest social and economic justice movement of our times. When the 400 wealthiest Americans have a greater combined net worth than the bottom 150 million Americans, something's wrong. Through this concert and rally, we hope to bring intelligent and thoughtful dialogue to the table, and in the process, gather wider and broader support for this movement." And finally, Netflix took a beating on Wall Street this week, with the video rental services stock plunging on Tuesday by more than a third after the company unveiled its quarterly earnings report. The big number in the third quarter report was 800,000, which is roughly the amount of subscribers that Netflix lost on the heels of its unpopular decision to raise prices and its now nixed plan to spin off DVD by mail service into a separate company. As CNET points out, the loss is quite a reversal for a company that had managed to add at least 1 million new subscribers in each of the previous seven consecutive quarters. The company reported it had 23.8 million subscribers at the end of September, down from 24.6 million 3 months earlier. The Wall Street Journal notes that Tuesday's stock plunge has shares trading around $75 for the first time in 18 months and continues a dramatic tumble that has erased about $12 billion from the company's market value in just 104 days. The paper adds, however, that despite the subscriber losses, the company's profits and revenues are actually up. Still, Netflix gave its investors even more to worry about when it said it expects to start losing money for the next few quarters beginning in early 2012 because of the costs associated with its expansion into Great Britain.
So the good news is, though, if you got a little money you want to invest somewhere, this would be the good time to buy Netflix stock because of the persistent rumor that Apple's going to buy them, which, of course, and I think just even the rumor that Apple is going to buy anything results in that stock just going through the roof, whatever it is. So.
Yeah, so it's actually low right now. But and I don't think Netflix as a company, I don't see it actually tanking. So, yeah, if you were actually going to buy stock right now, it would probably be smart. If I had some money, I think I would do it.
This is, by the way, this is not to be construed as actual stock investment advice. Don't go suing us later when you get evicted.
Buy! You got to get buy when it's low! Now! I can't
Kid,
do
you got to get in now.
That's all the entertainment.
There's your entertainment news for Wednesday, October 26th, 2011. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program is next hour. Today we got a Clown Watch, Penis Watch, Taser Watch, and more. And this afternoon, 4 p.m. Pacific time, Don Taylor will be here at Cascade.fm with Hamfist Radio alongside Mr. Bobby Fatboy Roberts.
Probably not really talking about Spinal Tap.
No, probably not, because that's not so much
this week.
Friday as it is on the 11th
yeah.
of the 11th.
So maybe we'll talk about it, I don't know, like next week or the week after.
You know what you could talk about?
Watch.
Just this. Not even the singing part. Just this. Unless you think that might be irritating.
No. Okay. Who would find that irritating?
I don't know.
Robert Wagner likes it.
Fools.
For the second time this month, authorities have charged a Florida father with allowing his 9-year-old child to be a designated driver. Nathan Walter Sakinga, 31, of Gillette, Wyoming, told troopers with the Florida Highway Patrol in Orlando on Saturday he and his wife were under the influence of alcohol and instructed their 9-year-old son to drive the van. The van crashed into a security gate armbar. An Orange County Sheriff's deputy who witnessed the crash told responding troopers that a child was behind the wheel and the father was sitting in the front passenger seat. Sakinga was charged with felony child endangerment. No current telephone listing could be found for him, and it wasn't immediately known if he had an attorney. He was let out on bond.
He sounds like the kind that would have legal counsel on retainer.
On October 8th, police in Florida say a Detroit area man had his 9-year-old daughter drive him to the store because he had been drinking. Surveillance video from a gas station shows him telling a clerk that his daughter was his designated driver. Brownstown Township, Michigan detective, Lieutenant Robert Grant said the girl was sitting behind the wheel in a child's booster seat before 3 a.m. when an officer opened the driver's door and the 9-year-old was behind the wheel.
And on that note, we do this, which is to end this episode of Legion of News. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high up in the Milkpacking District in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon, at the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. As always, we thank you for listening. Have a safe and satisfying Wednesday, won't you? We'll see you again tomorrow here at Cascadia.fm for Legion of News.